This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 13th WGN show. We started at 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, and I don't think that's going to happen in the future until, probably September or so, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got a couple hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me, and better than that, I hope you'll call 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Well, a new app from Uber. And this is somewhat interesting. Like I say, some of these Uber drivers are going to be more than the star of their car. There's a number of people who had been concerned about reports where an Uber driver acted inappropriately to a passenger and mayhem or murder, for that matter, resulted. And I don't know if anybody's actually killed, but a number of things have been alleged, and that's been a concern for some people. Well, New York has joined several other cities, I think 150 of them in all, where they are allowing for both riders and drivers to record the entire audio of their trip, but not necessarily with the other's knowledge. Which is interesting because so many states have laws that you can't record someone without their knowledge or permission. Well, in this case, Uber has rolled out a feature that they hope will improve safety for both parties, both the drivers and the riders. It's a safety toolkit. And during a trip, drivers and riders can tap a blue shield icon to begin recording the trip. And when one party starts the recording, the other party is not informed. There's going to be some interesting tape coming out of that. So very often I tease something and then I never talk about it. So I wanted to at least tell you what was on my mind as far as that goes. So while we're on the streets of New York, scared the living hell out of me, the RoboCops. They tried this once before, but they're back. Real-life, nonviolent RoboCops hitting the streets in New York. And Mayor Eric Adams is thrilled about it. But you look at one of the RoboCops, which looks like a demented mechanical dog. Others of them look like something right out of Doctor Who. But the mechanical dog is something that, if you're not scared already, this will do it. They call it Digidog, a four-legged android that police think will be invaluable when dealing with hostage situations, bomb threats, or chemical spills. Oh, you should see this thing. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be walking down the street being chased by one of these things. So anyway, that's the four-legged android that's probably coming to a street near you, and certainly a street near New York almost instantly. So we'll see where that goes. And we will get to happiness and memories, unless, of course, your calls take precedence, which they always do. And that's 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And we'll kick it off with Paul in Iroquois. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh.
How's it going, Paul?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I have three items that I want to talk to you about.
All right.
I often hear about radio personalities doing sound checks. and I wondered, what does a sound check actually sound like?
You mean an air check?
Air check.
Well, it's the recorded show, and usually the music is scoped. So it's everything you'd hear, but just the intro and outro of the songs.
So you
can go to YouTube and find a ton of stuff. You can listen to air checks. Who was your favorite radio personality back in the 60s?
My favorite radio personality?
Yeah.
The 60s.
Or the 50s or whatever.
Maybe Dick Biondi.
Oh, well, you're in luck. Go to YouTube, type Dick Biondi. And you know how to spell it, obviously. You liked him. So
right.
What you will do is you will see everything. Forget about the stuff that's current. Although, you know, you might want to hear some of the stuff that he did on Magic in the 80s. It's all there. But you can hear him on WCFO from October 9th, 1970, and you can hear that show. You can hear him on WLS on May 2nd, 1962, or, on and on. Whatever it is you want, you can find it. Because just about anybody that you would mention, probably their air checks are right on YouTube. When he was at WKBW in Buffalo, Dick Biondi show from 1960. There's a great air check on that. It's about 10 minutes long. I was actually going to play something of Tommy Shannon, which also from WKBW, but I'll do that tonight. But I'll also pull this KB air check of Biondi and play some of that for you.
Great. Also, in your lifetime, who would you say was the greatest radio personality that you'll always remember?
Different people for different reasons, but my all-time favorite morning man was Dan Sorkin on WCFL about 58 to 62 or 3. 62, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, Dan Sorkin was Dan Sorkin. He was just brilliant.
S-O-R-K-I-N.
I lived for those M-O-R morning men, the Bob Cranes of the world or the Don Sherwoods of the world. You know, I just, Jim Runyon, I just thought these guys were terrific. And of course, you know, teens would listen to the top 40 stations and they'd think that these M-O-R stations weren't hip. And the reality is these M-O-R morning men were hipper than any top 40 jocks ever dreamed they might be. So I loved them. I also loved the night jocks of the early 60s, you know, the wild screaming night jocks, whether it be a Joey Reynolds or, you know, well, Biondi's a perfect example of that, actually. And I thought so many of them were good, particularly in medium markets where there was generally only one top 40 station. And you would have the night guy really be the Pied Piper to teens. And I think about this often because from the latter 50s through the mid 70s, the reality was teens had a shared experience. Every kid was listening to the same guy at night while they were doing their homework, hearing the same records, and it was universal. And that
sure.
never occurred before that, and it doesn't occur now. So it was really
exactly.
a couple, you know, really a couple decades at most of time when, in fact, you had one guy at night who owned the teens of a market.
My next item is yesterday, April 12th,
yeah.
WLS, I think next year, next April 12th, is going to be 100 years of WLS.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of things that they will play, sort of like WGN when they reach their anniversary.
Sure, and everybody in the last few years have been doing this. And, it's arguable when you want to say that anniversary is, because remember, originally, this was a little more than a hobby when this started, and very few stations were operating 24 hours a day. They weren't on kilocycles, of course. It was meters, and they were all on the same frequency originally, 360 meters, everybody. And so, they were not broadcasting many hours a day, and what they were broadcasting could vary dramatically. It might have probably had absolutely nothing to do with music originally. So where you count that start is arguable. Now, once you determine where it is, you've got another big milestone, and that's that as radio settled into a commercial medium of note, here comes television. And at that point, radio had problems. Certainly, it could continue to be block programmed. There were also issues at the time, you know, the musicians, the AFM strike and Petrillo and all that. And, you know, so there were other issues with recorded music as well. So the upshot is, though, that was really the birth, if you will, of Top 40 radio. And so some people count radio's history, the radio they care about, from the station going Top 40. So you have to determine at what point the start is. What's it mean to you?
And my next question is, Elvis Presley once said, I think it was during the Million Dollar Quartet with Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and so on and so forth, that he went to see Clyde McFadder in Vegas, I believe, and he said he was so astounded by Clyde McFadder that he climbed underneath the table.
Yeah.
Wonder if you would play something from around that time Elvis Presley might have heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Clyde McFadder, probably best remembered with the Drifters, but not only. And there was no doubt that Elvis loved him, as did many. And so, sure, we can play Clyde McFadder stuff, early stuff, and latter stuff. You know, it's strange. Everybody has their favorite little Clyde McFadder record, and mine is just there's nothing great about this record. I don't know why I like it, but Rock and Cry. And so
haven't heard that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not a ballad by any means. It's just a little rock and roll ditty. And when I think of Clyde McFadder, I'm like, oh yeah, Rock and Cry. And people look at me like, have you lost your mind?
So, anyway, never heard of it.
All right, well, I'll play you Rock and Cry.
All right.
Well, good deal.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I don't want to be long-winded.
All right. Well, I'll try to remember to queue up that Beyond Ear check for you and get that on tonight. And I'll definitely get the Tommy Shannon cut on.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. My pleasure. Yeah. In fact, the reason Tommy came to mind is I got a note about his passing. And the first thing I thought was, oh, God, not the same week as Buster Bodine. And then the second thing I thought was, wait a minute. I'm convinced Tommy Shannon's dead. You know, I mean, not immediately dead, but a few years. And so I looked it up, and sure enough, he is. It was sadly 2 years ago, pancreatic cancer in California. But he was a star, an absolute star at KBW in Buffalo. Not only, he was, of course, on Chum and a number of other places as well, but at KB, he was also the local dance show, Buffalo Bandstand, on KBTV. And he was amazing, and like all the guys in Buffalo, they were gods, you know, whether it was Danny Neverth or Joey Reynolds or what have you. And many years ago, when I brought Chuck Riley to Los Angeles to do mornings, you know, he was kind of going over the Los Angeles market with me, and he turned to me, he says, what this town needs is a good blizzard. And I laughed and I said, you're absolutely right, Chuck. Because, you know, you get these towns, the Buffaloes of the world, where these kids, you know, here it is winter. What do? Yeah, listen to the radio. What do you listen to? Yeah, listen to KB. Yeah, and people, of course, up and down the East Coast because of that wonderful 1520 signal, which was just terrific. So so it was a market that made God, Sandy Beach, you know, you name it, the Jack Armstrong later. The KB guys were stars, and to say the least, they broke records. But in the case of Tommy Shannon, boy, did he ever. And I don't know if you're aware of the story of the history of Wild Weekend. I know you know the instrumental. We'll play some of it as a bumper, but I'll tell you some of the story coming up. Well, actually, I'll let Tommy tell you some of the story. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk to Mark and Aurora. We got James on the South Side and Room for You coming up on WGN Radio.
To tell you how to shoo your blues away. You gather up your troubles and all your bad news. Then you go and get yourself a pair of dancing shoes. Then you rock, yes, rock and cry. Rock and cry. Come on and rock and cry. And you won't be crying.
Gen Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I don't know why, but that's my favorite Clyde McFadden record. I know, a guy probably most known when we're not talking about his Drifters records, and boy, we could. He did so many great Drifters records, but probably under his own name, more known for A Lover's Question than anything else. Also, his cover of Long Lonely Nights, the Leanders record, was really nice, too, and that got to number one on the R&B charts. But there was another one that I really liked that actually did chart. It made the top 10, so hey, that's something. Certainly fell short of number one, but I thought that Just to Hold My Hand was a great little record, too.
I want to know, do you love me? Tell me, do you care? Will you let me hold you, baby? Take you anywhere. Tell me, will you let me be? Let me be your friend. Will you let me hold you until then? Yeah, don't you know, baby, that the truth is the lie? Ask yourself, dear, if you're doing me right. 'Cause I wanna love you, oh, but not just to let you sit and hold my hand. Baby, just hold my hand.
Yeah, and that's, like I say, top 10 for him. And, of course, originally came to most people's consciousness because he was in the Dominoes, yeah, Billy Ward's group. And then the Drifters, in fact, the original Drifters, the first time around, yeah, in 1953. Would they have been anything without Clyde McFadden? Well, that's debatable. What's not debatable is time for the news, so we'll do that, and we'll get back to it right here on WGN Radio. James, that's Wild Weekend, and if you were listening to radio in the 60s, you remember it, usually going into newscasts, and it became really a surf record of note and had absolutely nothing to do with surf. The closest water it got was one of the Great Lakes because it was a Buffalo record. And how it came about was interesting. Tommy Shannon actually wanted a theme song. It was as simple as that.
For those who were around the first time, the first session many, many moon ago, it's easy enough. I don't have to say very much. There was a little theme song that I put together with a group called the Russ Hallett Trio. They were out of Binghamton, New York, as a matter of fact. Where they are today, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I didn't even have a copy of this myself. But I used it on the radio because I was only on weekends, okay? Does that make any sense? And guys like Dick Biondi and Russ Syracuse at that time were on and had big, full, orchestrated themes. But I was the poor guy on the weekend, so I put together my own little theme song. It was called simply the Tommy Shannon Show theme. And from that came a hit record in 1963. It took a while to finally catch on, but it went to, I think, number two in the U.S. and Canada and all across the world, as a matter of fact, did very, very well. So if you wonder why we do the two things together, and that's what I'm about to do now. Many people have asked me to do it, and I finally had to clear it and make sure, but I caved into pressure. But here's what it sounded like. This is the original, about 1958 through 62.
News and weather. This is the spot where things get better.
Okay, you hear the melody, right?
Tommy Shannon Show, KB Radio.
This is what it turned into.
And so there you have it. In fact, I think I have a tape of him singing along with it.
See what I mean?
It's So, yeah, it was interesting. Originally, Russ Hallett, and as Tommy was mentioning, had a little band, and they put it out in Not As Wild Weekends, that's for sure. They put it out as Rockin' Crickets by the Hot Toddies in 1959, and it was on Tommy Shannon's own record label. And it did very little, but it became so big as a theme song on KBW that they recorded it a year later on Marley, and was a local hit. And ultimately, beginning of 63, it was in 62 when it moved over to Swan. It was the exact same record. It was the same master. And Swan released it, and it got to, got to number 8 on the pop charts and 28 on the R&B charts, and the rest was history. So that's a little Tommy Shannon. But Dick Biondi, got a couple things to play for you from Dick. Now, the first one, actually, I want to play just because this is an air check on WKBW. WKBW, of course, in Buffalo. Like I say, terrific signal, but we're still in Buffalo. And what is he promoting? He's promoting one of his appearances. Where is his appearance? In Reading, Pennsylvania.
This is the Wild Italian Dick Biondi from Big KB. How about that, boss of mine? Hey, I want to take a moment real quick here to remind you that coming up on January the 30th, we're going to be down at St. Mary's Hall in Reading, Pennsylvania, and I'm really looking forward to that. Remember last time we were there, we had Freddie Cannon, we had the Shirelles, we had the Jordan Brothers, also the great Little Anthony and the Imperials. Want to remind you to get your tickets at Ripley Close, 709 Penn Street in Reading. I want to thank Ripley's because they gave me a nice red jacket the last time I was down there. Dick Biondi from KB, the big one in Buffalo.
Big Weather's here on WKBW.
Okay, here it is, direct from Action Central and the nice cold hands of Rudy Poangeli. The weather for Buffalo and vicinity. Colder with snow flurries or brief snow squalls likely tonight. Low 0 to 5 above, changeable skies, chance of more snow flurries, and cold tomorrow. High 15 to 20. Hey, I want to take a moment here, too, on WKBW to thank Russ the Moose Syracuse, who was making fun of me again today. And he's got no room to talk, him and his nippers and all those garbage can covers and everything that he talks about. You can hear Russ every day at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that's where he belongs.
Yeah, because, of course, the kids were in school. So that's some Biondi, but there's so much more. And, gotta hear a little more of Biondi.
We listen all the while to the hot spot on the dial. 20, that's our style on WKBW.
Hello, everybody. This is Dick Biondi. We're here until midnight tonight from WKBW Radio, where summertime is 29 minutes and 50 seconds before the hour of 7 o'clock. These are the sounds of the twangy guitar man, Duane Eddy, and his group with 40 Miles of Bad Road. WKBW Radio, the 50,000 audio-activant voice of Buffalo. The temperature, 70 degrees on the Dick Biondi Show. WKBW Summertime, 26 minutes and 35 seconds before 7 on a wonderful Wednesday, the 24th of June.
News of the world, national and local news on WKBW.
Rudy Poangeli coming up with the latest Pulse Beat news in just a very few moments on KB Radio, so be tuned for all the news as it happens as we roll along until midnight tonight. The Dick Biondi Best Bet of the Week.
So there you have it. Yeah, he was fired in 1960, but boy, in 59, he was a big deal there, to say the least. And then, of course, Joey Reynolds followed him, but before he was there in the 50s, George Lorenz was there. And while, again, top 40 fans, probably the name means nothing to you, but George Lorenz was the hound dog, and he brought just some of the best gut bucket R&B and blues to KB that you could imagine. And later he had a tip sheet for Top 40 Radio, because a lot like the Gavin sheet and stuff like that, and his was called Mickey's Turntable, and he had this beautiful picture of Mickey, who clearly didn't exist, and his wife did most of the tip sheet, but George was probably responsible for breaking a ton of records. And who remembers him? They remember Dick Biondi, they remember Joey Reynolds as well, they should, but my heart was with the hound dog. All right, so 888-876-5593, that's 8888 Raleigh, but that's an answer to Paul's questions. And yeah, whoever you like, except, you know, my beloved MOR guys. And the other thing, it was my MOR morning men, it was some of the top 40 night guys, but the other thing is Man, I'll tell you what, the soul stations. By the early 60s, when the soul stations were really in full swing, you know, before it was, you know, day parted or whatever, but when they were 24-hour stations, and these guys were just terrific. This was a time when they rapped, the music didn't. And there's so little. I've gotten most of it, but, you know, comparatively, there's so little. Now, part of this is when you're thinking about air checks, how would you record them? And, of course, when cassettes came out, you know, real mass appeal in 1964, those Norelco units, that really started a lot of kids grabbing top 40 air checks. But prior to that, on reel to reel, well, you had some. But yeah, those white woolen sacks, remember, the salesmen used to come around door to door and sell them to mothers for notes on their kitchen or whatever. It's crazy. But in any event, the kids who had moms with white woolen sacks went ahead and made recordings. But very, very little of soul, early soul, and very little of the MOR guys, unless it was somebody who made the air check, you know, for his own reasons. Maybe he's going to go for another job somewhere else or what have you. But every market had one, and they were just terrific. Yeah, the guy in Pittsburgh was unbelievably good, and then he replaced Bob Crane in L.A. and just bombed, never worked again, but like became a voiceover guy, did well. But when he was in Pittsburgh, he just ruled. I'll try to find some air tricks of him as well. So 888-876-5593, and well, the hell with any of this. We have to get down to it. Yeah, get down with it. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Rubber Band Man, the Spinners, and John in Covington, Kentucky last night called it. He and his wife is celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary this Sunday, and that was the song they played for their first dance, so along with everybody else in the group. So happy anniversary, and congratulations, John. 40 years on Sunday. So yes, the Spinners. And of course, appropriate, we play the Spinners. Bobby Smith of the Spinners would have turned 87 this week, born in 1936 in Detroit, and sang lead on a lot of wonderful stuff as far as that goes. And Henry Fambro, also, yeah, one of the original Spinners, the last original Spinner, retired, and 85 years old. So a life well lived. I think he's still going to be involved with the group, but he's not going to be touring. And who could blame him? Sit back and enjoy yourself. All right, so John said, well, what I really want, Raleigh, is I want to hear the real Don Steele. All right, so here's the deal. As far as top 40 jocks, I think that Don Steele was the absolute ultimate. And it's hard to pick one for all sorts of reasons. And of course, this is not to cast aspersions at wonderful guys like Robert W. Morgan. In fact, I used to say that Robert could read his grocery list over a record intro and women would swoon. He was that good. He really was. So not taking anything away from him whatsoever. But when it came to just pure top 40 radio, I don't think anybody surpassed Steele. And the thing about him, he was just the nicest guy, I thought. A lot of people thought he was plumb crazy, and I guess on some level he was. But he had a childlike innocence about life, And I know anybody who knows him said, Raleigh, do you know the stories? Yeah, I know them all. But the bottom line is he did, and he loved words and would just, they'd roll around on his tongue and he'd just get on the air. And the difference between him and everybody else, or, and I shouldn't say everybody else, because a guy like Morgan really put his heart and soul into it, no doubt about it. But a person like me, no, my job was otherwise interrupting my life. I never took it seriously. I never cared about any of it. And that's sadly the sad truth. Never did anything whatsoever. And in the meantime, Steele was just so intense. Everything he did in that studio, there was an intensity that you could cut it with a knife. And I have no idea. I just pulled an air check off the shelf. I have no idea if this is one of the best or one of the worst, but this definitely is Steele.
CP can actually double the life of your spark plugs. So keep your plugs in shape with Super Shell. Visit your local Shell dealer. At Shell, service is our business.
Of course. Okay, Jet Setter Alan Berg of Inglewood, we're standing by to take you and your guests along with one of the boss jocks on the dream trip to the place of your choice. Alan, pick your destination.
Paris.
Paris. And Alan, which boss jock do you want to go to Paris with?
You.
The real Dan Steele? Oh, groovy!
Announcing the departure of the Frank Terry Party for London.
Boss Radio 93 KHJ.
Al, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You missed this hour's trip. Boss Doc's gonna send you a jet set souvenir. Stand by to take off again next hour. I'm sorry, Alan. Partner Neil Diamond of the Boss, 3321 KHJ Jet Set Time of the Real Don Steele Show. Stand by for that Monkees exclusive.
Monkees, what a feeling you get from Monkees. You're swinging down the street and a wild heat starts to get you.
Oh, you don't want to hear the rest of this, but it actually is a pretty good air check if you wanted to listen to it, and I do believe it's on YouTube as well, and you can check it out. And yeah, as far as just pure top 40 magic, didn't get better than Steele. So enough of that, and whatever is on your mind coming up next hour right here. So 888-876-5593. We got Mark and Aurora talking about the Uber story. We got James on the South Side with his 4,832 links. We got Rick in Northern California talking about pre-top 40 radio, and whatever you would like to discuss. I might come up with something myself, because I might get to that that story on memories and happiness, because it's interesting what a choice you have. And you might be thinking, I have no choice whatsoever. Well, you may find it differently coming up on WGN Radio.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind which one you are. I'd like to wake up and dear, whichever you are, I miss you, I miss you. I miss you. Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, your smile is divine, but you keep me guessing. Will you ever be mine? Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Talk about unlikely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that was the only record that Atlantic ever took a gamble on and had a hit with that was completely unsolicited. The writer was Blanche Carter, a woman from Florida, who actually got a BMI award for one of the biggest R&B hits in 1956. Never did anything before, never did anything after, but she was mailing songs to New York, no response whatsoever. And for whatever reason, Jerry Wexler and everybody else heard it and said, well, it's pretty good. Now, of course, putting it with the Clovers, it isn't a Clovers-type arrangement, it's not a Clovers-type tune, so everything about it was against it, and of course it became huge. And many years later, it became a pop hit when Bobby Vinton recorded it. But that's the original. And I played it because I was thinking of the Clovers, because Bill Harris would have been 98 this week. And Bill was their guitarist. And was he ever great. He was a jazz guitarist. In fact, when he first saw the Clovers that auditioned for him in the early 50s, wanting to lure him in as a guitarist, he was about as unimpressed as a human being could get. But ultimately, he went with it and was with the group from about 52 to about, or about 50 maybe, to about 58 when he left. And remained in D.C. and studied at the Columbia School of Music and taught music, wrote books on guitar technique. Just a very accomplished guy. A lot of performing, a lot of recording. And he was a concert promoter, too, sadly. Died in D.C. in 1988. But Bill Harris, yeah, would have been 98 tomorrow. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Floyd is in Ottumwa. Ah, we're going to Iowa. Iowa 80, even. All right, so Floyd, what's up?
Raleigh,
yeah.
Yeah, real good. There was a cartoon, a Hanna-Barbera cartoon used to come out when I was a kid, Johnny Quest, in the 1960s, 64 to 65. That cartoon, excellent animation. It's something that they spent a lot of money on. It wasn't like these cheap, quick drama graw cartoons.
Yeah.
This thing had the almost real-life aspect. Now, the music that started that, the theme, opening and closing theme on that, that ran over the credits, there was I'm told that the composer made that so that the trombonists could not play those, they couldn't hit those notes. It was impossible for a human to do that. And he wrote that intentionally because he was trying to flummox those guys so they couldn't hit it. Now, they tried the best. It's good. Whatever that, I can't recall the name of that composer. I can't pull his name.
Hoyt Curtin. His name was Hoyt.
Go ahead.
Hoyt Curtin.
Hoyt Ashton.
Hoyt Curtin. C-U-R-T-I-N. Curtin. He was
C-U-R-T-I-N.
He was actually the primary musical director for all of Hanna-Barbera, and he did all their action adventure stuff, and that was Hoyt Curtin for sure.
That was great. Now help me out with this one too. There's a. I'm going to ask you another one after this, but this one right here, this Rune Arledge, executive producer for ABC Sports in the 1960s and 70s, he had a montage of sporting events that came on, and I caught one just late at night, accidentally, it had to be, our local ABC affiliate. You know, we only had three major networks in those days. ABC ran this montage late. And the music that went with that, it had to last at least 2 minutes. And that's a good long time for an air of a commercial to get the people to watch ABC Wild World of Sports. The montage showed divers, if you can call that a sport, divers, boxing, gymnastics, formula racing, those Formula One cars that sound like a turbine or a low-flying jet when they go by, not that NASCAR stuff. But the things that sound like a jet, they showed that. And the tune that started out, it was bass heavy when it started out, and there was a trumpet solo in there, and there were strings in it. And that whoever composed that, and I can't find the name on that. I can't find it anywhere on YouTube or on
You're talking about television and sports, and you got me there. I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Raleigh, if you heard that.
I'd love to hear it, but where would I hear it?
That's what I can't find it. I've never heard it again. It was I just happened to be up late that night, maybe going 11:30, going into midnight. It was air to the antenna TV in those days. It was going out, and by golly, I have not heard that since.
Well,
they had that. Go ahead.
I was wondering whether he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and his induction is online. Did they play it during that? Maybe.
You mean Rune Arledge?
Yeah. Yeah, and so
I doubt it because
that's usually where you're going to hear that kind of stuff, kind of a montage type thing. So do you remember why it was on the air?
So to promote that program, ABC Wide World Sports. I'll tell you, that when that show was on, now sports didn't draw me that much. But when I heard that tune, that just, that's what they used to advertise for a TV sports show. This was grand. This was great. And the same thing with that Johnny Quest and that opening scene. It was almost like Benny Goodman. Sing, sing, sing. You know, the drum-heavy opening to that?
Mm-hmm.
That started out with the Johnny Quest. And then the cartoon, it was a cartoon. But that didn't look like any other cartoon I'd ever seen as a kid. That looked like something an adult Let's follow the storyline on.
Yeah.
And that was, and they didn't insult the children because it was made for kids, but it made so the kid could follow it along. And like they're telling a story like a saga, a quest, what the name, Johnny Quest. Like it just goes on in episodes. That show was grand. And then I'm not talking about the one they brought back in the 90s.
No, I understand. The and there was more stuff at Hanna-Barbera that worked on multiple levels than you might imagine as far as adult humor. I mean, Top Cat was always my favorite, and Arnold Stang in that. And, you know, that absolutely was not a kiddie cartoon, though, of course. It was considered.
Say that again.
Yeah, but, you know, so Bill Hanna and Joe Barbera had a lot going on. No doubt about that. But maybe somebody who actually owns a television, and, well, I do now, courtesy of John, but I didn't then, but will have an idea about the theme song. But I know what you mean when you hear something in the past that you just can't find again. Like for me, speaking of Arnold Stang, he did a group of PSAs in the mid-60s for the President's Council on Fitness that were the funniest damn PSAs ever, and I've never been able to find them.
Now, let me ask you about this one, too. I've talked to you about Doc Severinsen before, the NBC Orchestra.
Yeah, right, of course.
With Johnny Carson. Now, he had that show and ran for, and every time he'd cut off the band, you know, because the commercials would come on, they'd get started, you could hear that band was good.
Yeah.
Orchestra. And then they'd go on, and you knew they were just getting the best there at the studio, and we're just coming in on the very end of it. Occasionally, they'd let him go. With Doc and the orchestra would cut loose, and they'd let some tunes out. But that was very rare. Usually, it was the guest that they had on the talk. Anyway, Severinsen had and the NBC Orchestra, Once More with Feeling. I think that was the title of it. It was also put out as a CD. I think they might have had a vinyl cut of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the tune on there was, I think it was Duke Ellington, Things Ain't What They Used to Be.
Yeah, no, there was a lot.
It
was an album, Once More with Feeling, an album by him. And Things Ain't What They Used to Be was on it. Avalon, Honeysuckle Rose was on that. Poor Butterfly, Body and Soul.
Oh, Raleigh, can you play that Things Ain't What They Used to Be? I know it's a long tune, but I'll tell you what. That started out. You know, it starts out with the opening of that.
Okay, which...
And then as it goes on through...
All right, which cut do you want me to play?
Things Ain't What They Used to.
Okay, all right, let me write this down. Now, somebody called and said the theme song you're looking for is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Theme for the Common Man. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to look for that right now. Hang on, and we'll play it if I can find it, and then you'll tell me if it's right or not. Don't go away. All right, because I won't know. But hopefully Floyd will. So we'll get that and his request as well coming up on WGN Radio. Friend Radio. I'm Riley James. I actually remember that. That was 1977, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer on Atlantic, because it was good to use for production music, actually. Aaron Copland wrote it, but Emerson, Lake, and Palmer sang it. So, Floyd, is that the record you're looking for?
No, that's not even close. That right there sounds like some high tech. This the one I'm talking about with this Rune Arledge when he was executive producer and the montage and the sporting scenes. It sounded almost like a jazz tune, but this thing and it was classily done. The strings in it, the oh my word, well, it was what I would call beautiful.
All right. Was
almost perfect.
So it was not fanfare for the common man. All right, well,
hopefully
we can please you more with some Doc Severinsen here, and we'll see if this is what you remember. Like it?
Oh, I love it. That's it. That's exactly the one.
Yeah, the Amherst Records. That was 1991, Once More With Feeling. The name of the album was Once More With Feeling, obviously, and Things Ain't What They Used To Be is on it.
Oh, it was grand. Now, that Johnny Quest theme, you see that was Hoyt Curtin, C-U-R-T-I-N?
Yeah, and...
thanks for that.
Yeah, sure. I bet you that's on YouTube. You could probably find that. I'd be very surprised if you couldn't. Hoyt Curtin was a guy who was from Downey in a Los Angeles suburb, and he was at the beginning, the first Hanna-Barbera production, the Rough and Ready show, and so that was like 57, and he retired in 86. So other than 65 to 72, the primary music director at Hanna-Barbera was Ted Nichols. But other than that, it was all Hoyt Stoddard Curtin was his name.
Is he still around?
No, died in about 2000. He was born in 22, I think, and he died in Thousand Oaks. So he was in the late 70s when he died. And, he did a lot of television commercials. And in fact, he was working on a Schlitz commercial for MGM when he met Hanna-Barbera. It was a production they were working in. But, yeah, he did the Flintstones, Top Cat, the Jetsons, Johnny Quest, Super Friends, Josie and the Pussycats, the Smurfs, and more. So, it's funny. He composed a couple of songs that were heard in the background of Plan 9 from Outer Space. He never wanted to admit it because he thought the film was just really poor quality. But, he was around for a while. His pianist was Jack Cookerley, and that's the guy who invented the synthesizer for the Johnny Quest thing. And it was orange crates with a keyboard and thousands of vacuum tubes. And that's what you heard on that Johnny Quest opening. And there was a regular jazz band involved with that, you know, trumpets and trombones and woodwind guys and all that.
I thought that Johnny Quest was a real orchestra.
Yeah, four trumpets, yeah. Six trombones, five woodwind players, a five-man rhythm section, and this was done at RCA Studios in Hollywood. The drummer, or a couple drummers, Alvin Stoller and Freddie Capadona, who played drums on it, but anyway.
Now, you see, that's what I mean. They put that in for kids watching a TV cartoon.
Not exactly.
On Raleigh, that was grand.
Yeah.
You had to have been a 7 or 8 year old kid to have heard that.
Okay.
Saturday mornings about 10 or 10:30. That was not like any other cartoon that was ever on.
Yeah.
Like I said, that music, the storylines, the animation. Somebody spent some time, some effort on that, and it showed.
Well,
that show was grand.
Hoyt would have been impressed to know you remembered.
Oh, my word. Now, if we could find that, and maybe somebody will call in about ABC sports montage, because that's not the music. The music goes straight through, starts at the bass, There's I'm pretty sure it's a trumpet solo in there. The strings go come in about the middle and go through the end of it, and that thing lasts for a lot. Had to be about 2 minutes.
Well,
that again, another one is grand.
If anybody knows, that'd be great, because I won't, but maybe somebody will. So keep listening.
I will. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Speaking of listening, let's find out what's going on in the world at large with WGN Radio News on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there's a Johnny Quest theme without all the sound effects from the open on the cartoon itself. But that's just the pure music from it. And yes, Hoyt Curtin, we remember you. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Jim is in Drexel Hill. What's happening tonight, Jim?
Okay. I got two radios. They're both on FM. And when the one radio, number one, is on a particular station, it's a normal volume. I'm going to change the other radio number two on a particular station. Radio one, the volume decreases or it mutes. Why does that happen?
I can't begin to explain that.
It happens. It's consistent. When I have the one radio, I've done it on my tuner. I've done it in different rooms. When it's on 101.5 and it's playing at a normal volume, and I put another radio,
okay,
like 10 feet, 5 feet away.
Does it only happen with that one radio?
No, it happens with several radios.
All right, because I was going to say if it was just one, there could be a feature, but unlikely. But no, you got me. I have absolutely no idea. If anybody is listening and has a clue, great. I've never tried it myself, but now, of course, you've got me wondering, so you know what I'm going to do this weekend.
No, because I didn't want to ask you because it would sound stupid, but I've done it in like three different rooms. Mm-hmm. I did it on AM, FM tuner. I did it on four different radios. And when on 101.5, when it's playing on that station and I tune in other stations on another radio 5 feet away, 101.5 minimizes or mutes. And then, when I turn the other radio off or change the station, it comes back on the normal volume. Mm.
And, of course, 101.5, that's Jersey 101.5. It's Trenton Station, KXW. But I am absolutely clueless. Has never happened to me. But, of course, I don't know that I've ever tried it. But, like I say, you know I'm going to this weekend. All right, if anybody else has had this experience, let us know what it might be. Interesting.
Another question. Have you ever heard of Concord cassette players?
Not recently.
No. I got one when I was in 1968 when they first came out.
Uh-huh.
And
I believe me, you can buy...
I just wonder what happened to that company.
Oh, you can buy them on eBay if you really want one for like $65, you know.
Oh, really?
And they were behemoths. They were not small. So, you know, you can get them with tuners. You can, go to eBay and look. You'll see all sorts of stuff.
No, I'm just saying, I have one, and it still works, and
yeah.
I just wonder what happened to them, because I never heard that advertisement.
Concord made reel-to-reels also. They did a number of things. In fact, they made transistorized reel-to-reels too. And then they made some early cassette players that looked like that Norelco jobby. So all sorts of things.
The tape that I got when it said Concord, the tape recorder people.
Right, exactly. They were. But what happened to them? They're long gone.
I heard they were in the audio for cars and stuff.
I don't think there is.
Gone.
Concord Electronics, and I don't think you can see them in the museums and stuff like that. But they were mostly on the West Coast, and I think they were absorbed by a Japanese company.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken. And that they were sold in the late 60s, then they were sold again. They were later absorbed by someone in Japan. Ladd was the guy who started that. Howard Ladd started Concord. I don't know what else. He was originally from Philadelphia, but he died in L.A. But I'm pretty sure that ultimately. By the way, Ladd also introduced Sanyo in the United States, so he was around, and he was executive vice president for them. He was involved with Fisher, and I think that. The last thing they did was that Concord Media Systems, and I'm pretty sure that all went to someone in Japan. But somebody who knows more than me could tell you.
Because I got mine in like 1968, and it was well designed. I just wondered what happened to them, because they're not around anymore.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, like I say, he wound up going to Sanyo, and... but he, in the early days, he not only was into audio, but he was a pioneer in personal videotape. And this is long before we had, Beta and cassettes and all that.
Right.
We're talking reel-to-reel. He put out a VTR 600 in L.A. And, it was ridiculously expensive at the time, like $1,500 or something ridiculous, at the time. Because, right, today's dollars, that's probably like $15,000. But in any event, it wasn't really for the home market, but what he was hoping was that, professionals in the business who wanted to make tapes of their stuff could do it with this. And, so he did that, I remember. Of course, it went nowhere. But he sold Concord, I'm pretty sure, in 68. I'm almost positive. So, but you could look it up and then.
No, you. I mentioned Concord to people and they say I never even heard of it.
Oh no! Well, Howard Ladd was an amazing guy. Absolutely, I've heard of it. And we're talking reel to reel and those nice reel to reels with the separate speakers and all that. Oh yeah, I remember them, of course.
Did he have the first compact cassette players?
No. Norelco did.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, Norelco did. That's the first time I saw it that way.
So, oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 1964. I remember.
Oh, the 64 that came out?
The cassette player? Yeah, 64. Philips and Norelco. But Norelco, I think in 64, remember they had that thing called a carry quarter. That was Norelco, and that carry quarter. I had one until fairly recently. I don't know what happened, but anyway, that was the first one, and that was 64. And of course, I had to have one.
But they had big cassette players.
Of course,
one. It was a big cassette, compact cassettes.
In terms of audio, it, for the home use, it went right from reel to reel, and that was mostly quarter track reel to reel to cassette. There were certainly other formats for pro use, and then of course for broadcasting cartridges and things like that. And before that, oh my God, I found one the other day. What the hell was that called? I can see it in my mind, but what were they? In any event, there were a lot of different things professionally, but for the home market, it really went from quarter track reel to reel to cassettes. Oh well, should we talk about 8 tracks? I don't wanna. I'll tell you what. I never flew on a Learjet, but I don't think I'd want to fly on a jet designed by somebody who thought a movable head on a tape recorder was a good idea.
Yeah, right, in the middle of a song you hear a click.
Well, the hell with the middle of a song you hear a click. I mean, one of the hardest things about tape recorders is keeping the heads aligned. So you're going to build a system that's meant to move. So, yeah, that original four-track and then the eight-track. So, no, wouldn't do that. But what the hell were those things called? I came across one the other day. Prior to the cart machine, we had them. But I'll think of it eventually.
Now my neighbor had it was a bigger cassette, not the compact cassette, but it was a bigger cassette.
Well, not for home use.
Oh, okay, it wasn't for home. Okay.
Yeah.
So the compact cassette came out in
64.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and and you know, there were other things that the other thing about cassettes, they were so damn slow. Why didn't they make bigger ones that could record maybe at 15 IPS? Hell, I'll settle for 7.5. But no, I don't know of anything bigger for home use at all. So, oh gosh, that'll drive me crazy now. I'm seeing it in the mind's eye, and I can't think of what they were called. And they were not for home use, but they were in little metal square metal boxes, and we used them all the time.
Yeah, that's what this guy had.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now what the hell were they called? This is terrible. I had racks of them when I used to work in radio. They were noisy too. You didn't want to keep them in the control room because they'd clunk. But it'll come to me. I'll think about this.
Okay, no.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Bye.
So why is that not coming to mind? All right, I'll think of it. And or maybe you will. Maybe we'll go to Rick in Northern California and maybe he'll know. All right, we'll find out in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We only got about 10 minutes left, or less, actually. And so we'll forego the bumper and talk to everybody. But Mark in Aurora says he knows about the radio volume answer. You've had this happen?
Yeah, in fact, I've even played with it. What happens is that every radio has a circuit in it called a local oscillator.
Right.
And FM's local oscillator is always 10.7 megahertz higher than the station you're tuned to. And I won't explain the technicalities of why you need a local oscillator, but I would give you good odds that the radio that the other radio that this gentleman is working with is tuned to either 90.7 or 90.9, because guess what? That's about 10.7 megahertz below 102.5. And what's happening is that the local oscillator in that radio is radiating far enough to interfere with other radios.
It's Jersey 101.5, not 102.5.
Oh, 101.5.
Yeah.
Well, then it would be down at 89.5 or 89.7. But the point is that if the shielding is not good in a given radio, the local oscillator might radiate all over the room and interfere with other radios. And that's what's causing his problem. And it can the local oscillator signal can be strong enough to completely obliterate the station you're trying to listen to.
And that's fascinating. But I know what is on 89.5 and 89.7. And it's very unlikely that he's listening.
7 and 89.9.
Well, I know what are on these frequencies. And unless he's looking for preaching and teaching, it's unlikely he's deciding to.
But those would be the only ones that are around 10.7.
Actually, now that I think about it. 89.9 is doing some urban now that I think about it. There is a possibility.
But that's where the problem is coming from. And radios do have the potential to interfere with each other that way. And the local oscillator serves the purpose of giving the circuitry only one frequency that it has to work with.
Well, I hope he'll call back and let us know if he's listening to 89.9, because that's plausible. It's licensed to New Jersey.
89.7.
Well, that's not likely. I'm looking at what's on these frequencies. That's not likely. But
And then I was going to tell you that the KB in WKBW came to mean King of Buffalo.
Yeah.
But the call letters started out meaning well-known Bible witness.
Of course.
And then the tour guides called it well-known Bible workers because they thought that we wouldn't know what witness meant.
Right.
But KB became top 40 in the 1950s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and
And at 1520, they even had SkyWave coverage in the daytime. I their ground wave only went as far as Syracuse, New York, but I once picked them up mid-morning in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that was clearly skywave coverage. That wasn't ground wave. And at night, they would go to Scandinavia.
No, well, yeah, and a lot of stations do. I'll occasionally even get a QSL request from Finland or whatever on my little AM, so that's not that's not unusual. But I guess Cap Cities bought it in 60, but it was top 40 before that.
And then Price Communications bought it in 1985, they had to become WWKB.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
But they retained the King of Buffalo moniker.
Right, with that logo. Yes, I remember it well.
Yeah.
All right.
Then I was going to mention about Uber drivers. I found out the hard way that Uber drivers get the chance to evaluate their passengers because I discovered that I had a score of 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know why I was 4.5. Maybe I forgot to use deodorant one night. I don't know what caused the 4.5, but the rating said, you know, it's good that you got a 4.5 because that shows you're human. It shows you're not, being idealized.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you start to worry what your Uber driver or Uber passenger score is, you're in trouble. So
yeah, but they have that option of giving their passengers
have the option of recording their passengers.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and you have the option of recording the drivers.
Yeah.
Without the knowledge of each other.
But I think it's the local oscillator that
Mackenzie's. They were Mackenzie's. All right, I've been thinking all this time. Before cart machines, we used Mackenzie's. All right,
you remembered it.
Yes, Mackenzie's. I would not have slept tonight if I couldn't think of that. That'd been terrible. But yes, they were Mackenzie repeaters.
With your so-called deteriorating memory, you still remembered Mackenzie's.
Yes. Well, I still have them. They're not. They're at the studio in Globe, but I still own Mackenzie's. I don't own a player anymore, but Mackenzie's. All right, what a disaster they were in so many ways.
But what I think the radio deal is, that this guy's got another radio on at 89.7 or 89.9.
Okay, no, that's great. That's wonderful information. I hope he'll call back and let us know if that is the case. Wonderful information. Thank you. Oh, well, wait, hang on. He's calling back. All right, and I've only got waning moments here, too, so I'm already apologizing to Rick, who we probably won't get to, and I do want to talk to him. But so Jim is calling back. All right, so are you listening to 89?
Yes. No, it wasn't 89.5. It was either it was like 96 or 97.
Oh, so you're talking.
But I also turned into the channel 12? The WHO 80. It was 88.7, I think. But that did it. But it also happens on like 96. I guess it would be like in the 95 and 98.
All right. Well, we'll keep working on it. And thanks. Appreciate it.
I have an empty station where I have my C-Crane FM transmitter hooked up to.
All right. Well, keep listening and maybe we'll get an answer. Or call back next week and bring it up again. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So it means we're not limited by any means there, Mark, to what you're thinking. So now you got to go to...
Yeah, he was getting harmonics.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going with, too, is that he could be getting harmonics. That's absolutely possible.
Yeah,
all right,
and
you've,
that would be especially true in cheaper radios.
Well, isn't that the truth? That's why I always say C-Crane Cup. But he does have some C-Crane radios, so we'll see.
Maybe. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so let's see. I mean, when I say waning moments, like 30 seconds. Rick, I apologize. Will you call me next week? Oh, Rick's already gone. Smart man. All right, so on that note, that'll be a wrap until Monday. Tomorrow's show is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, and then next Monday night it is live for 3 big hours, so I expect to hear from you, or like we used to say, want to see your face in the place. Anyway, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. We had fun tonight, I think. I did anyway, and that's always my goal. So until Monday night, I'm Raleigh James. I'm Raleigh James after that, too, by the way. And this is WGN Radio.